Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Welcome to the WrestleTalk podcast. I'm Ollie Davis, back from holiday, and boy, am I excited to find out what happened on the draft. I don't know, because I'm joined by Laurie Blake.
Hello. Not a lot happened on the draft, Ollie.
Last week was good.
Well, we didn't sink the ship, if that's what you mean, while you were away.
WrestleTalk survived. Raw specifically.
Raw specifically was good last week. Raw was good. That's an oxymoron. What you've said is an oxymoron. It cannot exist. It does not happen. Last week was a rubbish, terrible, waste of time episode that set us up for what this week's episode was, which was a waste of time.
Much better.
Well, we span our wheels. For 3 weeks of spinning the wheels, Ollie, until we can get to Crown Jewel. Mm. And then the draft comes into effect. And then, you never know. Never mind that anything can happen in WWE. Hopefully something might happen in WWE one of these days.
What are you talking about? We got the Usos showing up. We're doing the actual Raw podcast. In the intro and outro is meant to be not the show discussion. But surely
stuff, watch any football,
we got the big spots. I tell you what I have watched, Laurie. I just watched the episode of Galaxy's Child of Star Trek The Next Generation, season 4, episode 16 or 17. It's another banger. Another banger.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I feel like you're the only person who is invested in this project that you've got going on. You keep telling people like anyone's paid attention.
You've been watching it as well?
No, I've not been watching it, Ollie. I've been watching current TV.
Oh, yeah, because it's not in the top 10 of Netflix. It's not in the 10 most basic shows available. Yeah.
You're also watching Squid Game. You and everyone else on the planet.
Have you dabbled with the Squid Game?
Yeah, I've watched all of Squid Game. It was
oh, you watched it all?
Fine. Yeah, it was fine.
Just fine. Who is this? Yeah, Luke Owen?
It was fine. Like, some of the episodes were good. I thought the motivations for none of the characters, all the character motivation was just weird. Like, why would anyone do that thing? No one felt necessarily desperate enough to be doing this specific thing.
They did a whole episode on the desperation.
Have you seen the one with the needle?
I've seen the one where they have to get the honeycomb and the needle.
Yeah, so I think that's probably the episode with the most tension. Mm-hmm. And then my favorite episode.
That's the last one I've seen.
Okay, cool. Well, so my favorite episode comes after that, and it involves marbles.
Mm.
That's what I'm saying.
The South Koreans have some weird playground games. Am I right? Like,
yes.
We never had honeycomb-based playground things. We just had a couple of jumpers. Sometimes a shoe and a football.
Hmm. I mean, that's all we did. We played bulldog. Played a lot of bulldog.
What?
That would have went. Regular grade bulldog, and then it advanced to rugby tackle bulldog.
Prism Rules, we used to call it. We'd all be playing Bulldogs, and then someone would shout, Prism Rules! And everyone would just start murdering each other.
Yeah, and you got to hold on to the inside of someone's pocket.
Well, we had ties and blazers at our school, so lots of rips were made in the seams.
I think that was the best thing about school, was like how pristine you went in on day one every term. Like when you got your new kit and you got your, like, I've grown, obviously outgrown everything in the 2 weeks that I had on a holiday at Easter. So I need a new jumper, I need new shoes. You go in like mint in box day one. Day two, it's like you've been in the war. You come out, everything's ripped. The tie's on wonky. The shoes are as if you've just walked the Himalayas. Like, it's nuts.
Shiny shoes to a teenage boy is what I imagine Banksy sees when he looks at a blank wall, a blank brick wall, because those are going to get scuffed. I'm going to kick those shoes and I'm going to, what was it called? Peanut? When you used to yank someone's tie down so it became impossible to undo. I had a 2p coin in my knot for the first year.
What, to stop it?
Yeah, that was the best way to stop the tie not getting too tight if someone peanutted you.
I did not know that. This is all information I could have done with 20 years ago, Ollie. Thank you for
so you had a tie
now.
As well?
Yeah, I had a tie, yeah.
Yeah.
In South London, we weren't just animals, just base beasts over in Bromley. No, we had ties.
Because sometimes when blazers, I talk to Luke when I talk to Luke about his school days, he's like, yeah, and there were knives and skater hoodies and the same jeans that he's wearing now. Mm. So I don't know if that's true. That is that just something I've invented in my head, that Luke
sounds
at
like
school
a
Montessori. Was exactly the same
school.
As he is now. Yeah.
I don't know.
Are those like the alternative curriculum ones?
Yeah.
Steiner School, you heard of those? Yeah, so similar, isn't it? It's like, we don't do a normal curriculum. We're just going to let you write poetry for a day, and presumably that will give you the life skills to succeed in finance. And my lady partner, really, if we were to have kids, she's like, we've got to send them to a Steiner School. Because, of course, she works in a circus. A lot of people who are professional in the circus went through the Steiner School route. And all I can think about is Scott
Steiner.
What
the math class is like, yeah.
Yes!
They make no sense.
And like when people talk about Steiner schools, when I'm out with my lady partner's friends, nobody gets that. But I'll still say, 33 and a third, right, though. And I'll just be looked at like I'm an imbecile. Well, that spells disaster for our kids at sacrifice. Crickets. Silence.
Drastic go down.
Well, should we get on with the Raw review? Oh, I cannot wait for the glowing review Laurie is going to give this episode. It's 2 weeks into Laurie on Raw. They said it was a bad idea, Laurie. Respectfully, I don't think that's a good thumbnail, Pete told me, but I'm going to see No Time to Die tonight, and I'm excited about the new James Bond film. So that is why we have the best thumbnail we've ever created for this podcast. I'd like everybody to go over to Pete's Twitter page, Twitter profile, account, whatever it's called, and say to Pete, hot damn. That is a fantastic thumbnail for today's WrestleTalk podcast. Respect.
Hot diggity dog.
Put respectfully. Respect. This is what he said to me. I'm going to get the little, what did he say? When I described my concept.
It was a James Bond thumbnail. Thing with all the Queen's Crown people in it.
Yeah.
Respectfully, yeah, Ollie. I don't think that's very good. I don't think that will work.
Yeah. I respectfully, Ollie, I don't think that idea is very good. And then I just left the caps lock on for everything I was saying back to him. Can we get a Can we get a vote? Is this the best thumbnail we've ever had, ever? Jenna, can you make that simple yes or yes options? or no? This is sponsored by Geology this episode. Geology are a men's like skincare routine company. They send it. This is my one. This is actually my thing. That's why it's got stains on.
It's got a little grease patch. That's gross.
It's the use. It's the usage of all the products. This one I use every day. Well, both of them. But look, one's coloured for mornings. The other one's coloured for daytime routines. And it kept me beautifully moist and soft on holiday with a bit of SPF 10. So yes, please do go over. There's the link in the video description below to check them out. Every click helps support us. If you take it out on our recommendation, that helps us out even more. We'll talk a bit more about it in the break. But first, what did you think of the women's booking on this episode, Laurie? Specifically Queen's Crown Tournament.
So women appeared on the show, Ollie, today. I must have blinked and I missed it.
You mean mid-card women, to be fair? Because yeah, the main event women were all over it.
Oh yeah, yeah. No, they had plenty of time. But yeah, the Queen's Crown tournament, it's off to an interesting start. It's off to a I don't know, like Ollie, do you get the sense that this might be a PR stunt? With them doing a big women's tournament, and by big I mean in terms of the way they're phrasing it, not in terms of the amount of time that they're giving it. Doing a big women's tournament to lead into the final being held at Crown Jewel. I don't know. Something about the way that it's been happening gives me this sense that it might be more than sort of just like a PR thing, you know, more than it is a genuine bit of content that we should be watching and enjoying with our eyes and our interest in wrestling.
I am going to say something that's a bit of a meme, but I think I sincerely mean it. Watch it play out. Just let this one play out. Okay, so here's what we've been describing. We've had the first rounds for both the men's and women's tournaments that are running at the moment. The men's matches in duration so far are 7 minutes 58, 11 minutes 25, 10 minutes 55, 8 minutes 55. And the women's matches are 2 minutes 10, 1 minute 40, 1 minute 24, 3 minutes 2 seconds. There's a gap there. That is way more than the sort of glass ceiling gender pay gap as well. This is huge. This is massive.
Just like, what's the point in doing this bloody tournament if you don't want to do it? Like,
yeah,
I don't like. I think the point of TV shows shouldn't be you're doing stuff that you don't want to feature at all. Like a lot of TV shows try and cram in extra storylines that kind of are loose threads and they get dropped or like they don't get enough time dedicated to them. But WWE makes a song and a dance about everything it does, and then just goes, "Oh yeah, we don't care about that. Like, you have no reason to care about this. We've spent." They spent like the thing in the news yesterday was that, you know, they spent Roman Reigns had a longer entrance than the Queen's Crown had dedicated to it on SmackDown. We've spent more time talking about Queen's Crown than WWE has spent featuring it in their shows, which, you know, we barely talked about it in Friday's podcast. That's about it. And it just, yeah, what is the point in these unexciting, like a minute to a roll up finish or whatever it is? Isn't enough time to buy anyone's interest in this thing. So, like, what is the point of it if you're just going to, like, you're trying to make out that it's going to be some sort of, like, oh, this is about, you know, the women's wrestling is just as important as the men's. Look, they've got this amazing tournament. And actually, it's just to be like, okay, cool. They're going to, like, I bet they make a huge fuss about it for Crown Jewel. Like, they're going to make a massive, massive fuss of it on that show as if it's actually important and mattered. And it hasn't. At all yet, because there's not been a match. A minute is not a match. A minute is two holds and Dana Brooke trying an unsuccessful roll up six times to get kneed in the face, which is not a finisher.
Yeah, that it's like they're not doing either of the things that will work. I think because the two matches we had on this episode were Shayna Baszler versus Dana Brooke. Of course, Baszler won, but she's the Queen of Spades. Surely she's got to win the Queen's Crown tournament for me. But if you want Shayna to just squash people, which I feel is what her monster character has been built as, then you need the other matches to go a little bit longer to make that squash actually a thing. So they failed on that count. And the other match was Doudrop beating Natalya. The commentary team just kept on putting over, wow, Doudrop's really talented, this, this, and this. But she actually got no offense in and won with a lucky roll-up on Natalya. So, yeah, the stories are not working at all. And, yeah, they should have a lot more time. However, I think that the reason it's not getting me is because I have had a week of holiday. So I'm just happy to be here. Secondly, I never expected anything more from WWE. They do treat any mid-card wrestlers, regardless of gender, largely completely as an afterthought. We had so many matches on this episode that went shorter than the women's matches. Granted, where it's problematic is that the men's tournament did get a lot more time. Like the opening Xavier Woods versus Ricochet match went 11 minutes. That's longer than all the women's matches combined. But yeah, I see this as a second round thing, or hopefully in the semis they'll get more time.
I was gonna swear. Bull crap, that is. That's absolute bull crap, because they're not going to. It doesn't matter. It's irrelevant. I think the fact that they can't even be bothered to finish matches with finishing moves just screams to me that this entire thing is irrelevant. Like, why couldn't Shayna Baszler just hit the Kira Fuda clutch? Why not? What difference does it make? What difference does it make if she just stomps the arm and the thing gets called off? Why does it have to be a thing she's never pinned anyone with just to be like, okay, well, that's done now. That's finished. Like, no, there is no thought has gone into this match because we've not even looked up what the finishes are. Like, to go out there near in the face, who bloody cares? What a waste of time. What a waste of everyone's... And then, to squeeze in the Doudrop match as well before the main event, to be like, oh, yeah, we can fit one more match. And just cram that in. Let's see how long that lasts. And then that was, literally, Doudrop did nothing. Blocks a sharpshooter, then rolls up. And it's just...
Doudrop and Shayna Baszler have now had a feud that will have lasted two whole weeks before they have their semi-final clash next week.
Mm-hmm. But this feud, Ollie, also just involved them. It involved them looking at each other. Nothing beyond that has happened.
It's like, intense. Yeah.
Oh man. It's like they analyze what would be a story, but can't be bothered to tell it. Like, they're like, that's how I write stories. Like, I think about the ending, and then I go, some stuff happens, and then you write the ending because that's the bit you wanted to write. Like, I'm bothered with the setup because it's boring writing stuff. But WWE's like professional, they're meant to be professional wrestling storytellers, and this is how they do all of their stuff. It's like, and I felt like a lot of this show, they'd analyzed what would be good. Like, in the they knew that the Woods-Kofi thing was interesting, right? Like, they knew that Woods versus Kofi in the semifinals of King of the Ring would be an interesting story. They'd obviously zeroed in on that because they had two different backstage segments where they were like, what if you have to face each other in the semifinals? And then they didn't do that. It's like they know what's good, and they actively choose not to do it again and again and again.
Got to get that heel heat.
Luke, can you come back, please? I don't care if you've got a baby. Come back. I don't want to watch this anymore.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Let's see what the Ultra Chats say. WrestleTalk.com/support. Get your Ultra Chats in there. We'll read out every single one of them. Over $5, Brian Moore says. So, what did you guys think about the Queen's Crown Beat the Clock Challenge? I mean, tournament. Also, don't tell Adam that Jinder eliminating Xavier might actually happen. Yeah, we'll get on to that. So, who would have won? Shayna won the Beat the Clock Challenge. She had the shortest match, I believe.
As she should. Like you said, like, they've identified that Shayna Baszler should be squashing people somewhere in the last, like, month
of time.
There's
the story.
They've done the exact same with everyone else. So, like, when's this going to get any time?
Are you telling me, Laurie, that a 1 minute 24 match is anywhere close to the same as a 1 minute 40 match?
No, there's a lot you could do in those 20 extra seconds.
Yeah, exactly.
Probably like three more roll-ups in there.
Rocco J. Feller, with AEW and WWE, the two biggest wrestling brands currently, having some of the best women wrestlers for them in the world, what do you guys think is stopping women from being as important as men in their eyes? I don't understand why at all.
Well, WWE's always said that women don't draw is the... really what they think backstage, and yet they quite happily think that four of the women draw. I think they just don't think that the mid-card women draw. But that's, again, if you tell people stuff is important, I think they start to believe it, and if you give them time to show that they're important, people will eventually start to come around to the idea that this stuff should be watched and should be viewed. And I think when AEW is given the women time to run, and when WWE is given women time to do a main event at a thing, they've proven that they're just as capable of hanging with the boys as anyone else. But yeah, they just don't regularly feature a variety of women in roles beyond squash matches or very quick matches. So there is no room for the audience to go, that is important. And I think the wrestling audience is savvy enough to know when stuff feels important and when it doesn't. And wrestling is all about the feeling, because we discussed it before, like, the belt isn't important unless you're telling us the belt is important. So women's matches can only be important if you say, hey, this is important, and it is made to look and feel important.
See, I push back on the idea that WWE don't book women well. I think they don't book anything well, really.
Yeah, well, because, like, damning with faint praise.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, you've got Becky Lynch, you've got Charlotte Flair, you've got Sasha Banks, Bianca Belair. That match later on that we'll talk about, I think, is the polar opposite of how they're viewing the competitors in the Queen's Crown tournament. Both were equally badly booked, but I don't think you can say all WWE are not pushing their women based on this. They're not pushing their mid-card women. I think there is an important difference there. The Raven Effect. How will they coexist? How will they coexist? How will they coexist? How will they coexist? It's no wonder WWE love this storyline so much. There's so much depth to it, or at least four bits of depth to it, which in fairness is at least three more than usual. So this is about the women's tag match.
And the main event.
Oh, yeah.
There was a lot of coexistence going on in this this episode of Raw.
The poll results are in, folks. 75% say this is the best thumbnail we've ever had.
Respectfully, Pete.
Respectfully Pete,
it's the best thumbnail that's ever been done.
It's the best thumbnail that's ever been done. I'm going to see No Time to Die with him tonight, like an hour after this podcast finishes. I'm really excited. Anthony, I'll just do two more. Anthony Velasquez, outside of a couple good matches, this show sucks. I know, Ollie, you say you just got to turn off your brain and enjoy it, but I just can't with WWE. Nothing makes sense. And Charles Berg, Mustafa has done it now. He's gonna made a big mistake. You don't fight the dead Mansoor at a Saudi show. Does anybody else get the feeling when watching WWE that the wrestlers don't want to be there? Not all of them, but so many look drained and sad.
There's only so much acting in the world, and I think that there's only so much being used at any one time. And obviously Sullivan, Bo Brown, is using a lot of it on a day-to-day basis. And then there's only a limited pool for the WWE talent to draw on to hide their pain.
Charles Berg's dead man saw here. I think I got the cadence wrong. It's the dead man saw, right? To say that he never loses in Saudi Arabia. That's the joke. Mm-hmm. I just wanted to clear that up. I thought that could have been problematic otherwise. Let's get on with our sponsorship. Oh, yes. Geology.com. There's a link in the video description below. These beauties have made my skin nice to touch. You want to touch my skin?
I'm okay.
Everybody.
Everyone else can have a go, though, please.
Place your hand on the screen, everybody, and touch the supple softness of my giant forehead. Fivehead, they called me as a kid at school, Laurie.
Did they?
My forehead was so large, you know, because not all this hair used to be there. It had an extra finger's width on the top. No other male grooming company has been able to cover the giant size of my forehead, Fivehead, apart from Geology.
It had a very televangelist kind of feel, this whole moment where you asked everyone to lay their hands on your
touch
forehead.
The head. Touch the head.
Lay your hands on my forehead. Forehead.
touch the five head. Because you don't... We might watch Raw here, but I tell you one thing we don't want to be raw is the skin on our face. And Laurie. It's custom. So you go over to the link, you do the quiz, it takes like 30 seconds, it's free, and they'll tell you the exact regimen, as we call it, to get bespoke little bits. I got the regimen number 30. So it's like, here's the bits I have problem with. Always get dry skin here. Not anymore.
Because what you've described is your face there.
Moisturizing SPF morning cream, little eyelid one there, and of course the nighttime one as well with Retinosol. Please do go and check them out. It really helps us. Right, this full episode of Raw started off with Drew McIntyre coming out and cutting a promo, sort of ran down the Crown Jewel show, his match against Big E. Big E came out, cut a promo, nipples, Usos came out, and they set up a match for later on. A tag match for the main event.
How will they coexist, Ollie?
What did you make of the reasoning for the Usos to be on this episode?
I didn't mind it. I thought it made a sort of sense. Like, the Usos turn up because they're there on the orders of Roman Reigns, because whoever wins the WWE Championship is going to have to face Roman at Survivor Series. So to get ahead of the game, the Usos are getting in the heads of the opponents, plus also doing a little bit of damage to both guys beforehand. So, like, hopefully, by the time Survivor Series rolls around, there is some sort of long-form wear and tear going on with Big E or Drew. Like, and also, like, you've got Drew coming to SmackDown and probably immediately going to go after the Universal title anyway. So you do want to get out ahead of that. That all made perfect sense to me. And that was good. And the Usos, I think the Usos are great promos. I really like their style of, like, sort of passing backwards and forwards between the two of them. They flow really well between each other. And I thought Big E and Drew here were really good. Drew tried his best, damn it, to hype us for Crown Jewel. And then Big E came out and said some weird stuff about his nipples, which I like. I think Drew was the perfect sort of, like, straight man for that. And just being like, talking about your nipples weirdly. Like, they have a good kind of anti-chemistry where Drew's seriousness but willingness to kind of laugh along with a joke really complements Big E's kind of specific type, promo type, shall we say.
I agree that I liked the Uso stuff with Roman, like why they were sent there. I don't think it made sense, but I thought it made Roman feel really, really like this big, super evil boss level character. Particularly later on, there's a backstage bit when Drew and Big E are talking amongst themselves, being like, oh, the fact that Roman has sent the Usos over here shows that he's scared of us. And even though, you know, that one line made me elevate Roman Reigns in my head so much. Like, he's got this mob boss level of power that the champion on the other brand is like, oh, I think we might have, he's scared of us. Yeah, I thought that worked really well. The first match, though, so the Usos then had a mini brawl with Drew and Big E. Is that right?
Yeah. So Drew and Big E had a moment where they sort of said, we're going to have this match. They sort of they suggested they wanted the match later on. The Usos put the challenge forward for the match. And then Drew and Big E had a sort of moment where they were like looking at each other, trying to decide whether or not they'd team. And it was just that little bit of friction. And the Usos capitalized to kick them both in the head. And that left them laying in the ring to go into the next bit, which was Kofi and Woods backstage being asked about what they were going to do if they got to the semi-final. They ran away before answering the question, which led into Woods versus Ricochet in the first round of the King of the Ring.
Didn't you think if the New Day were there, they should have maybe...
Yeah, because they were literally waiting back. They were literally waiting behind the curtain.
They must have passed each other.
The Usos would have had to gone past them. No,
they just beat up their
not
bully.
Important and not important. They were too busy thinking about the King of the Ring.
So the New Day have been drafted to SmackDown, but just for 2 weeks, everyone's sort of, you know, a bit of a floater. The people have been drafted, but so we've got two more weeks of three man full strength New Day. They're literally right next to each other, and they do not cross the streams.
No.
But yeah, we got the first round King of the Ring match for Raw, which was Xavier Woods taking on Ricochet. Really good match. Like we've said, it went 3 minutes longer than all the women's matches combined. Really, really good stuff. Ricochet is amazing, even though he's been buried so much over the years. It's incredible how much he gets me back into his matches, even though I do not care about him at this state. But yeah, Woods won with the up, up, down, down elbow.
So Ricochet, I feel like Ricochet is where Neville was, like pre-Cruiserweight Championship. Like, he's in that exact bit where it's like they really like to feature him because he does stuff that pops the crowd, but they don't want to do anything with him, and it's going to take a full refresh. Like, and there was that glimmer of hope here where he said, like, you know, he had his little promos, he's coming out to the ring and he says, like, I'm going to go to SmackDown, I'm going to win this title, I'm going to get a new name, I'm going to turn up on SmackDown with a new attitude as King Ricochet. I think he should just do that anyway. And I hope they do I hope SmackDown is actually like turning over a new leaf for Ricochet's character, because he is so good and they are just wasting him here. Like, you know, cool, yeah, come out, do a flip over the turnbuckle. It's like Ricochet could be in really huge main event matches doing these crazy stunts. And he, you know, when he's in bigger matches, as we saw in NXT, he just escalates the level of stunt he does. Yeah. Like, the stuff that he did in this match against Woods, which no one else can do in WWE as far as I know, is just like this is like his five moves of doom. And one of his five moves of doom is just, I do a flip from the middle of the ring over the turnbuckle. It's like, what else can this man do more with him? Jesus. But yeah, it was a good match. I think Woods is proving himself even more that, you know, he really can carry a singles match and looks really good in it. Yeah, I just think it's a shame that they identified that the Woods-Kofi thing would be an interesting semi-final to do, and they didn't do it.
Well, we'll come on to that very shortly. But we go backstage. Riddle is doing some comedy with Randy Orton. He's challenged Amos for tonight. Orton's got a plan, right? No, he doesn't. But Riddle thinks he's just playing him. Pays off later. Mustafa Ali and Mansoor, one of the better acts to come together this year, take on the newly reunited Cedric Alexander and Shelton Benjamin. And they do four moves, maybe? Michinoku driver from Alexander pins Ali, and then Ali shoves Mansoor down to the ground in frustration. Later on, they fully break up when Ali beats up Mansoor.
Another match. Michinoku driver's not Cedric's finisher, is it?
No, it's usually the lung just blower. A setup move, isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah, he does the light. So, yeah, once again, who cares? Split these guys up because we need Mansoor to have a match with Crown Jewel. So we're going to have to create some artificial friction here so that he can have a win.
But couldn't they just do a tag match at Crown Jewel?
No, Ollie. No. Mansoor needs a victory all of his own, and they haven't invented anything big enough for him to do this year. So... it's just going to be him versus Ali. Yeah, I don't know, man. This is... well, Mason T-Bar are getting split up, though, aren't they? Because they've been drafted separately. So this is... I don't know why the wrestling is on the wrestling show is treated like a sort of... I don't know. It's like I said last week, it's treated like the scone in a cream tea. It's just the vessel for story, but it's not delicious or interesting. WWE just goes, okay, here's 2 minutes of stuff that will hopefully do something else at some point, and then we might do some more wrestling, but probably not. Who really cares about wrestling? Because we do stories, bad stories.
Well, speaking of bad stories, then we got Baszler versus Brooke, which we've already talked about. Then we got Riddle versus Amos, and Riddle's trying to stall Amos. He's cutting a promo, thinking that Randy's going to hit an RKO from out of nowhere. AJ Styles, I thought, was really funny here because he just grabs the mic. And, you know, like, increasingly irate heel AJ Styles, where he's trying to point out some injustice. He's like, he's stalling. Can't you see he's stalling? That made me laugh. But no, I thought this was building to some form of Randy does help Riddle.
Yeah.
But that did not happen. Riddle just got, you know, so squashed is a strong word, but that's exactly what happened. So AJ sort of directed the beatdown of Riddle, told Amos to hit one of those roundhouse kicks. I'm like, when's that been a thing that Amos does?
Hit one of your wicked sweet roundhouse kicks.
It turns out that isn't one of the things Amos did, because he just hit a kick, but kind of with a spin. And AJ, to stall for more time, is like, let's see a slow motion replay of that. So we got to see another replay of it, definitely not being a roundhouse kick.
Roundhouse.
And I was like, the reason this is being drawn out so long is because Randy RKO's AJ on the outside, right? And Amos can still get his win, whatever. But no, they just pinned Riddle.
Mm-hmm. And then AJ gets in the ring to go, oh no, we're not done yet. I'm going to hit the Styles Clash. Then Randy's music hits. He sends Omos outside the ring to guard for Randy. And then it's never quite explained how Randy... they did that thing where, like, there's a close-up of AJ and all the crowd going, whoa! And Randy's in the ring, hits the RKO, rolls out. Omos turns around and's like, boo? Where did he come from? Which we all don't know. Like, it was made over. Like, it was a really clever... plan. Again, it's made out like it's a really smart plan of Randy's that doesn't quite... if you don't see the plan, it's is it that smart? Like, if he just appears in the ring because Omos is looking the wrong way. Like, there's been better versions of this where Randy's dressed as like ring crew or whatever it is. Like, that's kind of fun. Like, that's fun. And I thought this section was actually fun and goofy and like in the right way. But yeah, I would have liked to see Randy there be some sort of... there is actually a plan here, but this was neither a plan nor a save.
Yeah.
He didn't help Riddle.
Riddle just got beaten.
Riddle just got beaten up. So Randy's not helping Riddle. And Randy then just appears to RKO AJ because that's just a thing people like to see.
Yeah.
It could have been the thing you said where he comes down and there is a plan and he does help Riddle at the last moment and then Riddle gets a win. And then you kind
not
of...
Not over a Moss. I wasn't saying that. You've got to keep a Moss.
Yeah, okay.
But DQ it.
Yeah. So just something where it looks like Randy's actually... There was a plan all along and then Randy's the genius and Riddle's the idiot.
Yeah. So a bit weird, but it was one of the better things on the show, I'd say, because RK-Bro was so over. AJ Styles, very funny. Drew
a bit before, but just before we go on to that, there was a bit before this, because they had a promo from every woman in the tag match later. And Charlotte's one was probably the only one of like major interest, I think, because Charlotte did the usual. She slagged everyone off. She said none of them were on her level. Doesn't matter. They're all just following in her wake. But then she said she wants to win the championship from Becky or whoever walks out of Crown Jewel as the champion. She wants to win that championship too. And she wants to be the double champ / meld the titles together to be the undeniable champion. Is this something on WWE's mind with the women's division? Because they clearly think they've only got four women of note now, especially with Bayley out of action. Bianca Belair has moved into that. She's mounted the horse that has been left behind by the injured Bayley. So do you think the WWE want to just be like, well, why don't we just have one women's champion who floats between the brands? Because at least then you don't just have what their big problem last year was that they only had two feuds per brand, essentially. So maybe doing some sort of undisputed women's champion could be the best thing that they could do.
Well, it's like 5 years since the brand split now. So that's long overdue for it to fall apart. And that could be the thing that starts to split it up. Although there's always the problems with Fox and the USA Network. But maybe... You know, but at the same time, it could just have been a line. Who knows?
I think it was a good line. It's a good line. Yeah, it's like that's an intrigue and something like interesting. And it's kind of weird to me that Raw and SmackDown have women's championships, but then the men's championships actually just have names. Like they're not just called the Raw and the SmackDown this and that. So just think it would be interesting to have just one women's champion who floats between the brands.
Or you could call it another name, the Divas Championship.
That's not taken currently.
And then bring back the Divas Championship. Beautiful belt design. That'll help it get over.
Hey, Eva Marie's around.
Yes.
she needs something to do.
Drew and Big E are backstage. This is when they did the Romans scared of them bit. And they agreed to cooperate and quite cutely did the Mega Powers handshake. Bobby Lashley came out to cut a promo. Unfortunately, he is a good deliverer of lines when he has someone else to do the rest of the WWE promo for him, like MVP. That's why the act works so well. But here, Lashley was unfortunately put in a position where he has to go out there, speak for 5 minutes in the WWE script style. And I sort of lost consciousness, I'm not going to lie. So I couldn't tell you much what he said. I think he just said, I'm going to beat Goldberg.
He essentially said that Goldberg came out here and used the opportunity to have an Orozbar match to say the weird things that Goldberg said about suddenly being... I don't know why all the old men in wrestling are suddenly like, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to pull a gun, I'm going to kill you, I'm going to choke you, I'm going to leave you dead.
Old days.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the good old days. They're bringing it back.
Undertaker's going, yes! That's it. It's like, that's what he sort of refreshed that in our minds and then said that Goldberg is a dog that needs to be put down. And he says he was going to end Goldberg's career at Crown Jewel. And then, there is a good line in this that is when he said, you can't hurt the Almighty. You can't do this to the Almighty. You can't kill the Almighty. Great line. But yeah, like you said, I think Lashley got lost in the promo, especially in the WWE start. Very slow. Hundreds of watch chants all over this. Like, yeah, I don't know why WWE plays into it. They know who's going to get watch chanted for sure, surely, like by now.
Yeah.
Especially with the delivery and the cadence and stuff like that. If you leave space for it, people will fill it with that sound, which I hate.
The The worrying thing about Goldberg is that he is a babyface, and usually when babyfaces promise something and they have... Terry the cat's here!
Sorry, Terry the cat was knocking around. He's been... Say hi, Catador.
Hi, Catador. Hola.
He's purring.
Right, usually mate? If a wronged babyface, you know, his son was beaten up, and then you promise to beat the person or win the title off the person, you do it. But what Goldberg's doing here is promising he's going to murder the other person.
Mm. It's almost an overreaction, considering that Sundberg attacked Lashley.
Yes.
Sundberg jumped on Lashley and then got a full Nelson for his troubles. Mm. So
we'll see what happens.
I love Goldberg. Like, we talked about it last week. And what do you make of the line where Goldberg says, "I'm going to leave your lifeless body in the ring, gasping for air"? How can it be lifeless if it's breathing, Goldberg?
Yes. I don't think he thought that out.
I'm not a big fancy scientist, but...
After that, we got Austin Theory having a match against Jeff Hardy after their interaction the previous week. 24/7 jobbers ran into the ring. Bit of a distraction there. Hardy almost won with a swanton bomb, but Theory got out of the way, hooked the tights for the win. Very quick, but at least Theory won?
We're just going to see this again next week on Raw before Hardy goes, and Hardy's going to get the victory. I wish that this was one not interrupted by the 24/7 title, and I wish this was just a clean, like a proper clean victory for Theory. I think that, like, you've already made out, like, there is no story here of breaking down Jeff Hardy so that he can go to SmackDown and become Willow, like he's teased. Oh joy. It seems like you want to build up Theory with these, you know, with actual just wins over these older guys. And yeah, I just think a roll-up doesn't really achieve that in the way you want to. Like, I think Theory looks good enough to use the, even if you still do the 24/7 title shenanigans, like, to at least use the distraction to hit his finisher and get the pin, rather than it being that distraction that causes Theory to lose momentum, giving Jeff Hardy the chance to fight back when Theory was winning, and then Theory has to do a roll-up. Like, that kind of has confused the roles. That the distraction should have given Theory the chance to be on top, not the other way around.
It's massively overbooked, yeah. After that, we got the next Raw first round King of the Ring match. Kofi Kingston versus Jinder Mahal, where the stage was set for a very rare New Day versus New Day match in the semis. And of course, Jinder Mahal won. Clean. Yeah. Both former champions. Big time match, this.
Yes. Huge, huge stakes, huge match. Mm. And again, like I said, earlier, WWE identified the point of this story that was really good. And then they were like, no, Jinder Mahal. Which leads me to believe that Jinder Mahal will be beating Xavier Woods in the semifinals to advance to the finals of Crown Jewel and win King of the Ring. Because he will then become the proper King Maharaja. The double king, the
Maharaja
classic.
Of the ring. Yeah. It writes itself. And what better time to do it than when you've drafted him away from the coolest guy in his act, Veer?
Mm. I think this is the thing, is like, as much as I want Xavier Woods to be the King of the Ring, it doesn't work if he's just going to be tagging with Kofi, because it's not going to be Kofi Kingston and King Xavier, is it? Like, and the King of the Ring winner, Xavier Woods. Like, it needs to be part of a singles run for Xavier Woods. So Jinder does make more sense, but I think you could have shuffled the brackets to at least have Xavier Woods in the final. Because you've got to know that they must know that exists on social media, that push for Xavier Woods to be King of the Ring. You want him to get to the final, and you want him to be beaten by whoever is your eventual winner. And I think the best way to do it would have been in the semifinals to have Kofi versus Woods have a handshake at the end of the match. Kofi wishes Woods well on his way to the final. Like, that's a really nice, simple wrestling moment that, it doesn't even take long to do on telly, because everyone understands the stakes and what it means. And it's literally at the end of the match is a handshake, and everyone's happy to be like, oh, that was really nice. I enjoyed them doing that thing. now Woods goes on to the final, but instead, Jinder Mahal.
Yeah.
God bless you, WWE.
Yeah. Well, you know, let's just prepare ourselves for a Jinder win, because I've been down this Woods road before, and I think they're playing with us again.
Jinder Mahal.
The next match was, you know, arguably the biggest match on the show. I thought this was a huge contest to make. They announced it at the top. Bianca Belair tagging with Sasha Banks versus Charlotte Flair and Becky Lynch. So the four biggest active stars, female stars in your company right now. How will they coexist? The answer is not at all. So they immediately started brawling. Which made sense, because like you said, all those promos leading up to it, their individual promos, they were just hating on their partners, their opponents, everything. So they immediately start brawling. Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce come out, and like, they had this really, of all the things that, of all the steps backwards that WWE took for women's wrestling on this episode of Raw, weirdly, this was the one that irked me the most. Sonya Deville and Adam Pearce come out and go, You have the chance to show the world what you four women can do, and you behave like this. I'm like, what are you talking about? Every single one of the people in this ring has main evented a WrestleMania. They've already shown what they can do. Mm. When WWE behaves like the women still have to prove themselves to the world and stuff, I think that's the wrong mentality to have.
In a complete non-main event as well. All four of you had the perfect opportunity somewhere in the second hour of Raw to do something, and you're throwing it in our faces.
How dare you behave like this? Like, they would never say that to if this was two men's like teams of single stars. Never say that. Anyway, they restart it as a tag match. Everyone's like doing the hard tags or the blind tags, and of course it breaks down. The referee weirdly DQs. Or calls off the match when Bianca attacks her own partner, which isn't consistent with anything else they've ever done. But yeah, I thought a lot of the tension of that for this brawl was undone because they did the brawl first. However, if they built up the brawl with the tension, that could have been a much better moment. But they did it the other way around. You can do it the other way around, but I think it left a lot of the potential on the table.
I think also because it's a segment that doesn't have a purpose beyond to be a brawl. Like, there were no stakes in this match. This was just all of these people have a match at some point that's more important than this. So now they will have a match because they have that other match. But this match doesn't denote anything about the other match that they're going to do. It doesn't mean anything for anyone. So, of course, they're just going to brawl, which is fine in and of itself, but it feels more important if it's going to be for something. Like, you can see before the match even begins, you kind of sense that this is irrelevant, and so it's just going to devolve into a brawl. And then, of course, the match gets thrown out. And it was fun. Like, it was fun. I enjoyed all the hard tagging and all that kind of, like, I really enjoyed Bianca and Sasha like, at the beginning when they couldn't decide who was going to be in, and Becky was just, like, goading them into it. And then it ends with Bianca, like, Sasha dragging Bianca back by the hair and just dumping her in the corner. And all of that stuff was really fun, like all the kind of setups where, you know, Sasha was on the top rope, going to dive to the outside, and Bianca's like, no, I'll help you. Off you go. Threw her off and stuff like that. There was like a sort of ripple of, there's quite an interesting match evolving out of this. But yeah, there should have been some reason for them to be tagging together beyond just, hey, that's fun. You've all got a match next week, so whatever. Like, if this was for some sort of advantage in a match or to choose a stipulation or something like that, I just sometimes these things need a bit of stakes to me, and I would like to see them happening for a reason that isn't just how will they coexist, because that doesn't make any sense.
Cute. That's cute. Like, I forget you don't watch Raw every week, you know? And have to review it.
I would say this every week, Ollie. If this
asking for stakes,
I would continue to say, why are there no stakes? Why are we just? Why does when the wrestling happens? Why does it? Is it for nothing? And why, when there are stakes, like the King of the Ring tournament or the Queen's Crown tournament, God forbid, are we spending a minute on it?
Yeah, can't please some people. There was a brawl. Lynch stood tall. That was pretty much how the segment ended. I agree with everything you said. I'll just put over that despite all that and the bad booking and like there's not been a single clean finish for like 3 months in the SmackDown women's title picture. God, the characters are good and they're over. So well done there. We got an Usos promo. We got Doudrop versus Natalya that we've already talked about. John Morrison was meditating backstage and Rhea Ripley and Nikki Cross walked past and yeah.
He said some apparently stuff
it was
about
Rhea
she...
Ripley's birthday. Mm.
Was it? And so she wasn't having it. No. Well, there's no time for more women. But yeah, so not... instead she gets,
trust me,
she gets to go like, do you know what he's talking about? No.
Yeah. You do not want to wrestle on your birthday or hometown because you're going to get beaten. So she probably got off lightly there. Mansoor and Ali broke up backstage, which we've covered. And the main event, how will they coexist again? Drew and Big E versus the Usos, they actually coexisted very well at the start. They did the New Day's moveset, but then they pretty quickly combusted. They started beating each other up near the end, but that wasn't a DQ or calling off the match like in the previous tag. Instead, the referee counted them out.
Mm-hmm.
Fun match, though. Usos are so good.
Oh, man, like, this is... I don't necessarily... Like, I wish that more of Raw was allowed to have wrestling in it. Mm. Because when it actually happens, it's good. Like, these four guys are really good together and they work really well. Like, I think the women proved in the tag match that they all are amazing as well. But because the tag match was so brawl heavy, it didn't really get a chance to kind of shine as a wrestling match. This was really good. But yeah, I don't know why Raw isn't just six really good wrestling matches with slightly shorter segments of story. If Bobby Lashley came out and spoke for 2.5 minutes rather than 5 minutes, Ollie, you claw some time back. If Drew McIntyre came out at the beginning of Raw to welcome everyone to Raw and it didn't take 20 minutes to get to the point where he's going to have a match with Big E and the Usos, there might be a bit more time for some other wrestling. I don't know. Something about the pacing of Raw is mental. But yeah, this was a really good, fun little match with a insane, weird ending where once again nothing is resolved.
Look at this guy, one in wrestling on a sports entertainment show. Did you see the bump on Drew McIntyre's head?
I did, yeah.
Bloody hell! So he was cut open by him and Big E's brawl, or maybe when the Usos pulled him off the apron. And I thought, okay, bit of colour, cool. Probably, you know, not intentional. But then when he was walking up the ramp, because he laid out Big E, hit the Claymore at Stand Tall, that already there was this bump the size of, I guess, a thumb coming off of his forehead. So, man, that is going to suck.
I thought this was quite a cool, like, there was a good little callback to last week where... Big E hits the tag as Drew's about to hit the Claymore in the same way that last week Drew tagged himself in as Big E was about to hit the big ending. Last week it was a bit weird because Big E just put them down. Rather than continue with the move that he was doing, he just put them down and then let them get Claymored. Here, like, Drew never got to hit the Claymore because Big E was always sort of stepping in front of him. So that kind of makes a bit more sense. But then he drags him off the big ending cover to start the brawl, essentially. I liked that. I thought that was a good little moment. I think Drew and Big E, of the matches at Crown Jewel, they've had sort of the best build so far because their promos together have been good. This stuff at least felt kind of impassioned and to a degree worked. And I think the Usos were good foils for that as like here to stir the pot because it's all about the big mafia boss watching from on high being like, I'm going to have to be interested in this in a few weeks' time, so I'm going to get out ahead of it and start causing trouble.
Yeah, multiple plates spin there. So yeah, good main event, good action, but didn't really make sense. How many things can we say that about? Overall, I gave this a 3 out of 5. What would you rate it? 2.
That's me being generous. 2.
Well, I didn't do the poll, so we don't know what you're.
I think we need to change. Folks. Look, we need to change the Raw scoring system because we're doing a five star system for everything, right? And I don't think it should be 5 stars for Raw. I think it should be rated out of Raw. So it should be a three out of Raw. Because we might give an AEW show a 3 when it's like not amazing. Mm. But it's a very good wrestling show still. We'll do the same for NXT. But I think with Raw, we've got to shift the scale back to its own scale because a 3 of a Raw is still not a good TV show.
A 3 AEW Dynamite would be a 5-star WWE Raw. Easy. Yeah. I've always tried to be very clear that the ratings are relative. But yeah, Matt, I quite like the idea of 3 out of Raw.
It's a 3 out of Raw. This was a 2 of Raw.
We have Pledge Hammer shout outs, guys. Thank you, everybody, for pledging to our lovely Patreon. If you go over there, you can get a bunch of exclusive things like podcasts. Me and Luke will be doing a review of Bound for Glory 2007? I think that's it. With the infamous Reverse Battle Royal match. One of the most ridiculous ideas ever to have been done by Vince Russo, and that's saying something. Your own shout outs on the WrestleTalk news and in this very podcast for $25 and above backers. So thank you, meticulous Michaela Traub. Yeah,
you're gonna have to read the next one because I can't see him.
Yeah, the Junus brothers, Junus Hakonnen. Yeah,
yeah,
General Jimmy G. NJ Hornsberg. Victor Henry Napoleon Dynamite. $100 man CD Horver. The Kessel Run DX Solo. Mad Mac the Meat Father.
People asked the Jeff Ryan last week.
Disco Stewart. Superkick Nick Mazesco. Double L Liam Leonard. And the Findicator Finn Brennan.
Just one big tag.
Nicely done. Excellent clapping. Top work.
Thank you.
Right, your Ultra Chats, folks. Let's finish these off. Riot DR. Ladies, stop fighting so we can see if you can coexist. So glad we only gave one Queen's Crown. So glad we only gave Queen's Crown round one 5 minutes to fit in this segment. This company. Jack Nichols, Raw. Ew, so awful. Has Sammy ever performed in Saudi? He strikes me as the type to oppose it. With that in mind, Jinder versus Finder is a SNME level match on pay-per-view. SNME?
I'll look it up.
This is some new abbreviation.
Saturday night main
Keep
event.
Well, lads. Your hair is still... What does it mean?
Saturday night main event.
Oh, right. So Jack Nichols has said this before. Your hair is still peng, Ollie.
Looking peng.
When was the last time you heard peng?
Pretty recently. Said it. I like peng. Peng's a great word.
But yeah, Jack, Sami Zayn does not go to perform in Saudi Arabia. I don't think he would anyway. Kevin Owens doesn't go either. Neither Daniel Bryan after the first one, I think. And Sammy instead uses the opportunity to raise money for a Syrian refugee charity fund. Will Campbell. Hi, guys. Glad Woods won. One step closer to King Woods. And that Drew Beige promo was oddly endearing. I'm just now terrified that Vince, in his infinite wisdom, will book Jinder to win because Vince is super hard for Jinder for a certain chanted reason. I think it's going to happen. Just prepare for it happening and then you won't be sad or angry. The Raven Effect. WWE say they want to be the new Marvel. Well, Marvel tries something, then 3 weeks later bring back the old guys. Bucky as Cap, Steve comes back, Falcon as Cap, Steve comes back. I think WWE are trying too hard to be the comics and not the movies.
I think WWE aren't trying hard is the issue. I think they're not trying at all.
I think the difference with the comics is that the comics have literally been around with the same cast of characters for 80 years. And that's why they've done every storyline imaginable. Whereas WWE, they do have a turnover of characters and performers, so they shouldn't have to do this sort of stuff.
Yeah, and I think also, like, only they're not, wrestlers aren't fighting over who gets to be Roman Reigns. They're fighting over the universal title, which is different. Like, you know, it's not a case of if Seth Rollins wins this match, he becomes Roman Reigns.
That's fun.
They should do it. I'm going to take.
Who can be the
name.
Big dog?
Yeah.
And finally, for now, Mr. Kajili. Hi guys. I think I know who's winning both tournaments. As after Crown Jewel, we have only one superstar for each brand. That's in for Raw. That's Finn for Raw and Shayna for SmackDown. While the other three for semi-finalists are three Raw for the women and three SmackDown for the men. So when all the draft dust has settled, you mean?
Yeah, I think, like, I'm kind of leaning towards the idea that it's going to be one heel and one face winners. So probably, like, I think Shane is the right choice on the women's side of things. And I think King Finn is already a prince. He's already the Demon King. There's something you can do there with that. Like, that's fine. But they would just stop using it immediately, won't they? It's not going to be. Unfortunately, it's not going to be Woods. So,
yeah, let's hope it's Woods, but let's also recognize it's not Woods.
I think it's best to say it's not Woods because then we can be pleasantly surprised if it is Woods rather than being like, it is Woods, and then we'll be massively disappointed if it's not.
Well,
set your
please
expectations
do some
lower, and you can, and then you get through it.
That is the WWE way. Oh, we've got a member. Adam Blamplate has renewed their membership. Thank you very much. And also, geology folks, go over to the link in the video description below. Take your free test to find out what the best skincare regimen is for you. And then you can get one of these excellent packs delivered to you, which I use twice a day to make your skin as lovely and as supple as, well, you know, me. And you're going to need it because you're going to be indoors a lot. There's going to be heating on. It's going to dry your skin out, folks. So use it. I went on holiday.
What was that like? I went on a plane recently as well for the first time.
You went on a plane?
Yeah, I went to Skye in Scotland. Wow. So I flew
that
up
was
to Inverness
for like a long weekend.
And then we drove. Yeah, it was good.
What was it like being on a plane?
It was a small plane as well. It was one of those ones that's only like three seats long. And I was in the seat that's over the wing that has like the emergency exit. So this is the first time I've ever been asked by like a member of the cabin crew. It's like, you're involved in the process now. If we go down, you're going to have to open the door. Is that okay? I was like, hell yeah. But yeah, I was like, oh, I'm a member of staff. Give me a badge and a responsibility. I want a new hat.
What? That's not the lorry I know. The lorry I would smirk at it and then pretend to open the door every time the flight attendant.
Now? Just kept shouting now for the whole flight. Do we go? Do we go?
So you took off fine. on time-ish. Maybe 5-10 minutes delay. Yeah.
We were the whole thing was fine, man. It was like, it's so close. It takes like 40 minutes. Great flight. And you get a Tunnocks tea cake as well.
3-hour delay.
Oh!
3-hour delay going out, sitting on the airplane, thanks to two drunken fools who refused to get off the plane.
Could you not just make them?
Well,
was there not just an uprising after hour one?
Apparently not. So here's what happened. This was a 6 a.m. flight. The plane was meant to take off at 6 a.m. So we've been awake since 2 a.m. to get there. This particular couple, a man and a woman, who had a horrendous degree of poorly applied fake tan on, which is weird if you're already going to somewhere to get a tan, but fair enough. But they were so drunk.
They wanted to blend in the check-in bit.
Hey, fellow Spaniards. But they're so drunk. They are falling on the escalator on the way there. I saw the sort of check-in people radio ahead. But somehow they were still allowed on the plane. The pilot obviously took one look at them and was like, no, I'm not taking off with them on board. So, yeah, the flight attendants asked them to leave and they would not leave because they were very mouthy. And they started to yell and everyone was like, get off the plane. And they were like, no. And they sat down. So the police were called. Two police officers get on board eventually. So it's about an hour has gone by now. And I'm like, yes, this guy looks like an absolute unit. He's not going to fit down the airplane aisle. But he does. And he gets there. And I'm like, yeah, he's going to please. I know I'm against police brutality and stuff. But right now, just laying an elbow. Laying an elbow on the guy.
Jeez.
Get him out of the plane. But no, they very calmly just spoke to them. Because I guess you don't want to escalate the situation.
Not in a confined space. That's where animals are most dangerous.
Exactly. They're backed into a corner. But they were showing it. They were acting it like, they're super on the defensive. The atmosphere of the plane did not help that. But nothing happened. So 45 minutes later, they get two other police officers to come on board with guns.
Oh.
Because an airplane and an airport in general, I think, is the one place in the UK where you can deal with people being slightly drunk and rowdy with a gun.
Yeah. That and international waters.
Yeah.
Just tipping into international waters. And then it's pirate rules.
If police went up to Wetherspoons in New Cross on a Friday night and pulled out the guns, that's not on. But something about an airport, yeah. There was no immediate danger.
That's a very quick way to lose your gun, Ollie, if you're a police officer. If you're going to pull it out, people could be like, oh, wow, a gun. Can I have a go?
Oh, cool, a gun. And the atmosphere in the cabin changed as soon as that gun came on board. Man, I mean, I'm against guns. Put my cards on the table. But boy, did I get excited when I see one. There it was.
Was it a machine gun?
Yeah, it looked like an AK-47. Obviously, I don't think it was that model.
I don't think the Met the use AK-47s.
It was several Glocks in the front.
Had a bazooka on the back. Of grenades.
It was Arne Anderson. It was like Arne Anderson had kitted them out. So I'm like, here are some guys with some guns. Sure, this is probably too much for this situation, but I've also been stuck in the same seat for 2 hours and I want to go on holiday now.
The only way still to stop nothing. A bad guy with a drunk is a good guy with a gun. So that's...
Yeah. Still nothing happened. And I'm just like, oh, please. Eventually, 2.5 hours later, they get them up. They're sort of walking on their own accord. They're not being assaulted or anything. But the guy is still... He's recording everything. And he's going, I'm recording you all. I'm recording. What's your number, mate, for the police officer and stuff? And the guy walks out. And then his girlfriend is behind him. And this guy at the front of the plane, who was also a bit of a prick, near where we were sitting, he was mouthing off a lot. He just got right in this girl's face and was like, F off then, you effing cow. And I was like, oh, my God, no.
They were going.
And of course, the girl just goes, Mickey, get back in here. Get back in here. He just told me this. And the whole thing took off again. We had to wait 45 minutes. They took them out. The police officer came back in and was like, look, mate, she's not going to leave unless I pretend to tell you off. Can you please step into like the walkway bit so I can tell you off in front of her? Anyway, so I know. And then they leave and the plane can't leave because people are in the sort of entrance cabin-y bit. And you just hear all this yelling from the docking tunnel. And the guy comes back in. I think he was properly shouted at because the police officers were like, why did you do that? But 3 hours in the end it took to resolve that situation, wow. Which is a long time to be cramped in, you know, an airport. This was a short flight relatively as well, so no leg space. Yes.
But you got that
lovely holiday. I got
a great, wonderful holiday. Just a very interesting, very British start to it.
I tell you what's really good about the Spanish islands.
Mm.
And that's the Italian food.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, I don't think I had a single Spanish meal.
No?
Lasagna. No, ragu. Tagliatelle. Croissant.
Jesus. Croissant. The classic pasta dish. Yeah.
Well, to be fair, it was called an Italian croissant because they jammed it full of ham. Yeah. But yeah, I don't really know.
Jammed it full of ham.
I just like, you know, tapas. Everyone's going mad for tapas. And to me, that's not a meal.
No, that's a series of small plates.
Exactly.
I hate small
What's your thoughts on tapas?
I hate them. I hate it.
I know. Say, I want my own meal.
Yeah, I don't want to share two Padron peppers.
Mm.
If I want Padron peppers, I'll eat as many Padron peppers as I could possibly eat. I don't want to share them. I don't want to just have like one taste of something, go, oh, that's delicious. Is there any more? Oh no, I've got to give that half away. Sorry. What a waste of time. Mm-hmm. That's because it's just for people who can't decide with menus. I'm really good at deciding with menus. Give me a menu. I will pick a meal that I want to eat on that menu. I'll order that meal. And quite often, I'll be satisfied when the food arrives. Tapas is for people who go like, oh, no. Oh, whenever the waiter comes over, they go, oh, can I have 5 more minutes? Oh, God,
what
I can't
do you
choose.
Recommend, like, waiter, man?
Yeah. And then they order something mental because they've panicked because the waiter's there. And then they're like, oh, can I have a bit of yours? And I'm like, hell no. I chose this when I came in and I want to eat every morsel of it. Piss off.
I will allow people to taste my food, but only with the hope that they go, oh, that's really good. I wish I had that. And I'll just smugly finish the rest. But yeah, I'm not a fan of tapas. Take that, Espanol. On that bombshell, yeah. We're going
to
wrap
Ollie
it up.
Will come to you, Ollie will come to your islands and eat all of your Italian food.
Yes.
Look, there's no queue at any of these restaurants.
No ravioli is safe because you can't spell ravioli without Ollie. It's in the end of the name. Please do subscribe wherever you're getting this podcast from. What else does Luke usually plug? There's the NXT podcast tomorrow. No AEW this week because it's been moved to Saturdays, but we got the magazine show. We got the SmackDown one. And of course, next week, oh my God, it's Crown Jewel. Yes, everyone's favorite time of the year, Saudi Arabia. We're going back there, gang. But for now, I've been Ollie. That's been Laurie. Do you want to say your own name, Laurie?
Laurie.
Jam that jam.
Jam that jam. Jam that jam. Jam that jam. Jam that jam.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter.
Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.